Amen. Thank you, Craig and Patty. That is a beautiful song. I appreciate that and the great truth in that song. And that's our message. That's what we go soul winning for. That's why we run buses. That's why we have Vacation Bible School, why we have a Christian school. That's why we go soul winning. You know, it's to give that message. Your sins can be wiped away. Amen. They can be blotted out. They can be, though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. They can be as white as snow. And praise the Lord, we don't have any snow. Usually I could illustrate that, right? But that's good. Amen. They could be, but we know what it looks like because we live in Michigan. And you know, our sins can, it's just an amazing thing. And I've been talking a lot here lately, the past few weeks, about grace and talking about the law and grace. And I preached about them together. And then on Sunday nights, talking about our flesh. And if it weren't for the law, we wouldn't know how nasty our flesh is. That's why a lot of people don't like the Bible. Amen. That's why they don't like the Word of God, because they don't want to know what they really look like. And we want to think we're all really good people. The Bible says that there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we can celebrate Christmas, be excited. That's why we can celebrate Easter and be excited, and we can think about what God has done for us. That's how we have a testimony, a praise, because it's all about God. It's all about what God's done. This passage of Scripture is a great, great passage, and many of you, especially the last part of it, verses 9 and 10, you've heard these verses and maybe even memorized them. And verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul has just testified about a thorn in the flesh, a problem. It could have been his eyesight, could have been any number of things. We have reason to believe that Paul had a lot of physical issues and problems. He was not a big, strong, athletic kind of a guy. We sort of have that idea from the Scripture. But then especially there was a thorn in his flesh, something in his flesh that was a real problem, and possibly eyesight problems. And three times he went to the Lord, he begged God to remove that thing. And three times, let me just remind you, three times God said no. I do need to remind us all of that. We think God is kind of, if I ask it, it's going to happen. Well, it is always going to happen, but it isn't always going to happen the way you want it to happen. And so God explains that to him and says, my grace is sufficient. In other words, Paul, you can live with that thorn in the flesh. You can live with that infirmity. Are you listening? Paul, you can live with that infirmity. In fact, you can do great things with that infirmity. And Paul, obviously, when he was on his knees begging God to take it away, when we're on our knees begging God to remove some problem from our lives, some infirmity from our lives, when we're begging God and crying out to God and asking God to do it, we think the only answer is going to be that he'll remove it. And yet, often God says to us, but wait, whoa, my grace is sufficient. And then he says this, he says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He's saying my strength. God says my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Wow. I've never really thought about that before. And so Paul says this, he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Did you catch that? He says, he says, I'll glory in my infirmities. Now, again, we don't think that way. We kind of think a different way. And we think, wait a minute, what do you mean glory in my infirmities? These are bad things. These are negative things. And that's a thorn in his flesh we're talking about here. Wait a minute, what do you mean we're going to glory? And yeah, Paul said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. Here's what he said, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hey, you know what? If God wants me to have that thorn in my flesh, if God wants me to have an infirmity in my life, if that's God's will for my life, Paul says, then God's power can be on me. When I'm weak, he says, verse 10, then am I strong. How strong are you, Paul? I'm a whole lot stronger than I was in my own strength, because God's power is going to be on me. He said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. That's the title of the message this morning, glory in my infirmities. Father, I pray you bless the service now, the preaching time, and give me your power, Lord, and use me to be a help. And mostly I pray you'll use your word in our hearts and our lives. It will be different. Help us to see some things today in our own lives, and help us to glory in our infirmities, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, the Bible paints a picture of our infirmities. It makes clear our infirmities, no question about that. Certainly, it doesn't do that to discourage us. Paul certainly doesn't sound discouraged here, does he? Paul doesn't sound, now, Romans 7, we're talking about that on our Sunday nights, and it was going to be a one sermon, and it's become a several weeks study on the flesh. But Paul sounds a little discouraged in Romans 7. He said, "I want to do right, but I don't do right." And but that, the only reason he says that is because he found out what right is. Amen. And he found out what wrong is. And he found all that out because he saw the Bible and he saw the Word of God and he saw the Bible as a mirror so he could see what he really was like. And it was kind of frustrating to him that he wanted to do right in his heart, but he didn't always do right. And so we're talking about that. But again, God, the Bible paints a picture of our infirmities not to discourage us, but of course, the law shows us that we're sinners and we need Jesus. So the law shows us where to go, amen? Shows us how to go to Jesus, how we need to go to Jesus. And if you don't go to Jesus, you'll be lost, and you will not be saved, and you will not go to heaven, and you will go to a place called hell. When you die, you need to be saved. So the law, though it seems like it's our enemy, it's our friend, showing us, hey, we need Jesus. Without the law, we wouldn't know we need Jesus. And that's why when you go soul winning, you know, sometimes people don't like it. You say, well, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And people look at you like, wait a minute, you can't. I'm an American, or my dad goes to church, or my mom is, you know, is a Sunday school teacher, whatever. And no, the law shows us individually how we are and how we need Jesus Christ. Paul said that he received a thorn in his flesh. He said in verse 7, and look at it as he's describing it, he said, and lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, so that I'm not exalted, so that I don't exalt myself. Well, we have a problem with that today, don't we? I mean, we really do. The day of secular humanism certainly is today, where man is the measure of all things. And Paul says, lest I be exalted. So that no man worships me, so that no man thinks that I'm something, and I'll get into the story before, you know, that he says before that, but he said, that's why I was given a thorn in the flesh, so that nobody points to me and says how great I am. And he says, of course, in verse 9, I will glory in my infirmities. In other words, I'll boast, not about myself. I will not accept others boasting about me. I want them to boast about Jesus Christ. So he says, I'm gonna glory in my infirmities that took me to Jesus Christ. I'm gonna glory in that which brings me to Jesus Christ, that which leads me. And he even says this in verse 10, I take pleasure in infirmities. And then he gives his list: reproaches, necessities. He says, I take pleasure in having needs. That's necessities. I take pleasure in people talking bad about me. That's reproaches. I take pleasure in persecution. He said, I take pleasure in distress. And by the way, we'll look at some of his distress. He said, I'm going to take pleasure in this thorn in my flesh because it's not about me. It's about him. Oh, we live in a day where we need to understand Bible Christianity has always been about him. It has never been about us, ever. And so infirmities, instead of being our enemy, it becomes our friend. And he says, when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm weak because of my infirmities, but I'm strong because I've trusted in him and I have his strength. You will always be able to do something in your own strength, but you'll never be able to do what you could have done in his strength. Never. And we have a lot of people today, and I'm talking about in our Baptist churches, we have a lot of folks doing a lot of things in their own strength, but oh, how much greater it could be if you taught your Sunday school class in his strength, if you ran your bus route in his strength, if you served God in his strength, if you had your family in his strength. Dad, you'll do something in your strength, but it'll never be what it could have been had it been in his strength. Paul sums it up and says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. And when I recognize that I can't do it on my own and I have to have him, that's what Paul's talking about. He says, that's when I'm going to glory in my infirmities because it takes me to him. Hey, we talk about that when we talk about our salvation. It was when I found out I was a sinner that I realized I needed a Savior. And we rejoice and we sing. And we sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a what? A wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Well, how did you know you were a wretch? Well, because God showed me that in his word. God showed me. And God showed me an infirmity. And God showed me that I was a sinner. And God showed me that I needed to be saved, that I could not get to heaven any other way but by trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. And my friend, you'll not get to heaven any other way other than trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so, again, this whole thing, I will glory in my infirmities, Paul said. He said, whatever it is that is an infirmity in my life, if it's persecution, if it's a trial, if it's a need, if it's my own body, if I'm getting old, if I'm crippled, whatever the infirmity is in my life, he said, whatever it is God has allowed in my life, if it'll get me closer to him, if it'll get me to rely more on him, if it will draw me to him so that I have his power in my life, he said, I'll glory in that. I'll talk about that. I'll rejoice in that. Understand, folks, his strength, God's strength, is made perfect in my weakness. You say, I just want to be strong for the Lord. Be weak for the Lord, and he'll give you strength. He'll give you strength. I talked about, I can't get into that. I get in more trouble when I get into my Sunday school lesson just the last hour. Get the, download the, whatever you do to get the message. Couple things. We are not to glory in ourselves. I've got that underlined in my notes. You can underline it in yours if you're writing them down. We are not to glory in ourselves, ever. We're not to glory in ourselves. Look what I did. Everything that is true about our salvation is true about our life as a Christian. Amen? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What's that, glory? It's not of works. You don't work your way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. We've already talked about that, learned about that. It is not possible. So there's nothing after I get saved to glory in of myself. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I love this song. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Amen. That's all we are. We're sinners saved by grace. But I want to be a big shot. Well, you could do great things for God, but you got to be a little shot to do great things for God, because when I'm weak, then he is strong in me. And you'll do great things in your own works. You might do something for God, but in his work, in his power, in his strength, if you get up and sing, you can sing a nice song in your own strength. And somebody will sit there and say, oh, that was so nice. And somebody may nominate you to be on some national show or something like that. I don't know. They may do that. Somebody might buy tickets to hear you sing that song or something like that. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll never do anything for God until you realize that it's him that those people need to see. It's him they need to see when you sing. It's not about you. It's not about me. When I preach, it's not about anybody hearing anything great from me. It's about him, that they see him, that they get closer to him, that they are convicted by him, that their life is changed by him. Pastor Rogers can't change your life. He can. Pastor Rogers can't get you out of your mess. He can. He always can. And until we understand, hey, bus captain, Sunday school teacher, junior church worker, listen to me. It is never going to be about what you did. It's always going to be about what he did. Amen. It's about him. We're not to glory in ourselves. But watch this. We're not to whine or complain about our infirmities either. Oh, everything's going bad for me. I'm just suffering for Jesus. You ever hear anybody say that? Every now and then I'll hear somebody actually really say that. I'm just suffering for Jesus. Oh, you poor thing. You know, Paul said phooey on that stuff. Amen? Paul said, I'm gonna boast. I'm gonna glory in my infirmities. I'm gonna go ahead and brag about Jesus in my infirmities. And there's always the crowd that'll come around and say, "Boy, you're having a tough time. God let you down, didn't he?" God doesn't let us down ever. Never does. If you're going through a tough time, it's okay. Read the book of Job sometime. Nobody's going through a tougher time than Job went through, and he didn't whine, he didn't complain. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That's what we're supposed to do. Paul said, "I'll glory in my infirmities." Okay, God, if you want me to have a thorn in my flesh so that I won't be exalted, so that I can call upon you and I can trust you, that's how we're supposed to live for Jesus. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I said it's impossible to please him. Without faith, you cannot please God. It is not possible. You say, "I got everything under control." Then you're probably not pleasing God. No, you say, "I have it. My strength, I've got it under control. I got my finances under control. I've got this under control. I've got that." Hey, listen to me. You're probably not pleasing God with your life then. Somewhere along the line, you need to trust him. Somewhere along the line, you need to believe. You need to trust him. So we are not to glory in ourselves. We are not to whine or complain about our infirmities, our trials, our problems, any of that. We're not to ever do that. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to brag about God. We're supposed to praise God. We're supposed to glory in our infirmities. Why? Because verse 9, it says this, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I'm gonna be excited about my God, whether I have a thorn in the flesh or not. I'm not going to let glaucoma take away what I can do for God. In fact, I'm going to go to God and say, "God, I don't see the way I used to see. So, God, I need your power more. I'm not as strong as I used to be. God, I need your strength and your power in my life more." I'm going to brag about a God that could save me, and if he can save me, certainly he can still use me. Doesn't matter how old I am. Doesn't matter how infirm I might be. I'm going to brag about my God. I'm going to glory in my infirmities. That's what Paul said. Hey, if he can save a sinner, he can use me in spite of who I am. He can use me in spite of my flesh. He can use me in spite of my frailties. He can use me in spite of my circumstances. He can use me in spite of my checkbook. He can use you in spite of your health. He can use us. He's God. But it's a matter of us saying to God, "God, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to brag about my flesh. I'm not going to brag about me. I'm not going to complain about me. You know what, God? I'm just going to talk about you. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he." You know, honestly, you get more people interested if you just talk about Jesus. Don't talk about the flesh in the room. Talk about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you go to work, you know, we have so-and-so goes to our church, but that's not what it's all about. Oh, Pastor Rogers, he's a good guy. I hope you'd say that. But that's not what it's all about. And our choir, oh, boy, can they really sing? But that's not what it's all about. And we have this ministry, and we have that ministry, but that's not what it's all about. Really, what's it all about? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Amen. And as John the Baptist said, when he saw Jesus, he said, "He must increase, I must decrease." You know, Christian, you ought to be decreasing every day. If you're growing in the Lord, you're decreasing. There's less and less of you and more of him. I'm not talking about weight loss or anything like that. I'm talking about our spiritual lives. I got saved when I was 17 years old, and in all these years, I should be decreasing and he should be increasing. When did you get saved? How long you been a Christian? However long it is, then you should be decreasing as he increases. And your infirmities and my infirmities certainly show me that I need to decrease while he increases. Our infirmities show us that. Look at Paul. He's going to give his qualifications. Here's his resume. 2 Corinthians 11. Go back a page. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. And I love this. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, talking about the whippings that he took, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. What's this? This is his infirmities. He's given his resume. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. I mean, you say, preacher, I've had a tough time. Paul says, how tough a time have you had, Christian? Here's Paul's life right here. He says, verse 27, in weariness. You ever been tired? You say, yeah, actually, I'm kind of tired right now. That's why I'm preaching so hard, keep you awake. Huh? You ever read your Bible and fall asleep? Yeah, I know. You ever, I've seen people standing up and fall asleep. Had a guy one time in Bible college. We were standing there, and somebody said, let's pray. And we started to pray, and this guy literally fell over into all the chairs, and they were all metal chairs in front, and just literally fell asleep, and it obviously woke up when the chairs clanged. But you ever been tired?
Yes.
Honestly, I don't know if you're a good Christian if you don't have some slobber in your Bible. I'm serious. You know, you're reading your Bible, and you just kind of, your mouth hangs open, you're tired, and you're reading, and I don't think it ought to always be like that. But I'm just saying, you know, weariness, he said, painfulness. You ever had pain? In watchings often, in hunger, thirst, fastings, cold, nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul says, I've got some infirmity in my life. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who's offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. I love that. And then he says this, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Wow. I mean, he says, God knows this is my life. And he said, this is how I live. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascenes with a garrison, desires to apprehend me. Look what he says, verse 33. Through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped. My life was literally in the hands of those that let me down in that basket. Wait, Paul in a basket? Yeah. Paul had to be in a basket? I thought he was a big shot preacher. What he's trying to say is, no, I listen to me, I'm nothing without him. And were it not for God, I'd die there in Damascus. But I was let down in a basket. Hey, big shot, listen to me. Would you be too big to be let down in a basket? That's what he's, you know, would you be too proud to have your life spared by being let down the wall in a basket? Would you be too cool? Yeah, I'm a cool Christian. You know, I don't ever praise God. Paul says, I'm going to just keep praising God. Paul says, I'm not going to stop praising God. In fact, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. I'm going to praise God if I have a thorn in the flesh. I'm going to praise God if I'm tired. I'm going to praise God if I'm weary. I'm going to praise God if I'm persecuted. I'm going to praise God if people talk bad about me. He said, I'm going to praise God if I can't see. I'm going to praise God if I can't walk. I'm going to praise God if I'm coughing. I'm going to praise God if I have a fever. I'm going to praise God when I have diarrhea. I'm going to praise God all the time. I'm not going to whine. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to blame God. I'm not going to boast in my flesh. My flesh is weak. Weary, but I'm going to praise God anyway. And folks, honestly, that's what we ought to do. That's what we ought to do. That way he increases and I decrease. Let infirmity teach. And that's what God says. Let infirmity teach you. Just like our flesh taught us we needed Jesus. Just like when I saw the Word of God, I found out I was a sinner. When I looked in the mirror, I saw my sin. When I looked at Galatians 5, I saw what I really am. And when I realized that, I found out I need him so desperately. I need him. If you're going to mount to anything for God, you've got to have him. Amen. You're not going to do it on your own. Chapter 12, he goes on, he says this, and many don't think about this. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ. He's talking about himself here. above 14 years ago. Go back 14 years in history and you'll see what happened. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. What's he saying? He said, that one, that person, that me, when I was caught up to glory. He said, that's the one I'm going to glory about. Wait a minute. What's he glorying about? Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Well, what happened there? Let's look at it real quick. Go to Acts chapter 14. 14 years ago, what happened to him? Acts chapter 14, most of you know this. Verse 19. And here he is in Lystra. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul. Now, you know, you read that and you don't think a whole lot about it, but Paul is put in the midst of a bunch of people that have piles of rocks. And I'm not talking about little pebbles. I'm talking about big stones they have in their hands. And literally, Paul is in the midst of them, and the people throw stones at him, and their intent is to kill him. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that's a very fun idea. I don't think that's a real wonderful thing. And by, you know, we have this idea that they're going like this, tink, tink, tink. That's not stoning somebody. Stoning somebody is to take those stones and throw them as hard as you can and hit them and break bones. It is a terrible, unbelievable way to die. It's hard even to imagine dying by being stoned. And at this point, at this place, the Bible says, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. By the way, he did die. And that's what he's talking about. That was an infirmity. That was a problem. That was a trial. That was a terrible thing in a person. He was stoned to death. But notice what the Bible says. And in that time, he says, I was caught up to the third heaven. But God wasn't done with him. And I love what it says in verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. So they carry his lifeless body out of the city. And then he rose up and came into the city. And you know what he's saying? In 2 Corinthians, what a blessing. You know, he says, this is what happened to me. I died, but I rose up. But it wasn't in my power. It was in his power. By the way, you can't raise yourself from the dead either. It's his power. It's his power that he rose up. And he said, hey, this was a problem. This was a trial. This was an infirmity. I was stoned to death, but I got up. How'd you get up, Paul? I got up because God got me up. Hey, whose power did you rise up this morning with? Huh? Amen. We rose up. I don't know how many times I felt like I was stoned. Not that kind of stoned. I heard that cough back there. Oh, Pastor, we knew you had a bad past. No. I'll say stoned by rocks being thrown at me. You say, oh, boy, I'll tell you what, I've been beat up. I've been hurt. Okay, get over that. Y'all get over that now, all you smirkers. But you say, well, I'm worried. Hey, listen to me. He rose up. You got to rise up. But how are you going to rise up? You going to rise up the same, or are you going to rise up with his power? Amen. Sometimes you have to be knocked down in order for him to raise you up. And that's what that infirmity is. Oh, listen to me. You've got a medical problem, and you've been knocked down. You say, I'm weak. But let him get you up. Go to him and say, God, I'm weak. And when I'm weak, I want to be strong in your strength. Let that infirmity teach you. That's what it did with Paul. Huh? What's it mean? God wasn't done with Paul yet. And you know what? You got up this morning, God's not done with you yet either. You're here today, God's not done with you. We rose up, that's what we should say. You say, I'm tired today. Amen, you're on your way to doing something for God. You say, preacher, I'm weak. Praise the Lord. You're on your way to doing something for God. You say, but I don't feel good. You're getting close to really being able to do something for God. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. The key is don't complain. Don't make excuses. Don't quit. Let God have you just as you are. Because he's the one that allows you to be just as you are. See, it's time to learn. Folks, look, we're so enamored by our flesh. We're so enamored by our talent. We're so enamored by our bank account or the lack thereof. We concentrate so much on all those things. Let me say this today. God doesn't need your beauty. You ever seen a sunset? All you have to do, if you see a sunset, a beautiful sunset, come on, God doesn't need your beauty. You ever seen the stars at night? God doesn't need your beauty. You ever seen the Smoky Mountains in the fall? I mean, it's unbelievable. It's the most beautiful. I mean, you look out and it's just colors everywhere and it's beautiful. And you look in the mirror, God doesn't need your beauty. You ever seen the white sandy beach of the Gulf Coast? Wow, and the waves breaking on that. I mean, God doesn't need your beauty. I really am looking good today. God doesn't need that. God paints the sunrise every morning. Some of you never see that, but hey, God doesn't need your strength either. He doesn't have to have your strength. You ever see the damage done by the tornadoes this past summer? He doesn't need your strength. The Bible says the clouds are the dust of his feet. Well, I'm feeling pretty powerful today. God doesn't need your strength. You know what he needs? He needs you to be weak. That's why he'll let that thorn come to your flesh. Amen. Well, God, you know, I'm going to be strong. No, God doesn't need your strength. You ever seen the damage of an earthquake? Buildings fall down. The land cracks. Yeah. God doesn't need your strength. God doesn't need your strength. Did you see the damage in New Orleans from Hurricane Katrina? God just says, he doesn't need our strength. How about the tsunami in Japan? I mean, nothing stopped that water. That water just kept, you're not going to stop that water. But God, it's just like dropping a pebble in the ocean. It's nothing to God. God doesn't need our beauty. He doesn't need our strength. God doesn't need my intelligence. Well, you know, I'm just such a smart person. I'm sure God can use me. He doesn't need your intelligence. Do you understand? God's a great physician. He's a great physician. Why? Because he made us. Amen. I mean, honestly, you talk to doctors sometimes, and you know, well, we know all this, and we know all that, and then they get to a place where they don't know, and there's so much they don't know, right? There's so much they don't know. God knows. He knows. God doesn't need your intelligence. Did you know 50 years ago, and I hope I'm right on this, but I'm guessing, 50 years ago, the digital world was virtually non-existent to man. I know, it's a shock, isn't it? Yeah. We didn't have cell phones when I was growing up. We didn't have personal computers when I was growing up. Oh, how'd you live? It was tough. We had to dial the phone like this. Some of us had to get on and say, come on, Mabel, get off the phone. I want to use it. That was the neighbor, right? Well, I say some of us, some of you. I'm saying 50 years ago, digital world, non-existent to man. But it always has been to God. Are you listening to me? We're so smart, aren't we? No, we're not. We haven't even tapped, not even close to what God knows. He doesn't need our intelligence, okay? He doesn't need our ability. God spoke in the universe was. I'm talking about things we look at, stars, and scientists talk about, well, billions and billions of miles away, and God just spoke, and it was. And we think he needs our ability? Hey, listen, God doesn't need our money. Now, tithe. I had to throw that. He doesn't need our money, though. He paves his streets with gold. He makes his gates out of pearls. Huh? He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. That's a lot of cows and a lot of steak. Amen. Yeah, well, I'm thinking about it right now, actually. Do you know God's not fretting about oil because God makes the oil? Yeah. We God doesn't need any of that. The reality is he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And he doesn't need all these things that we think are so important and that we think we have to offer to God. You know what he wants you to do and what he wants me to do? He just wants us to surrender to him and say, God, I'm weak, I need you, and if you'll do something through me, it'd sure be a great thing. And that's what Paul said. He said, I'm going to glory in my infirmity. I'm going to look at the thorn in the flesh and I'm going to praise God for it. I'm going to look at my weakness. I'm going to look at that I was beaten. I was stoned. I suffered a shipwreck. I was in perils in the water. Robbers. I was in perils by my own countrymen. I went through all those things. But God, I found out something that when I was beaten, when I was weak, when I was hurting, boy, that's when you used me the most. Because it wasn't about me. It was completely about you. The reality of the whole thing is this: the King of Kings was not born in the embassy suites. He was born in a manger in a stable. Are you listening? He didn't ride into the Jerusalem on Palm Sunday in a golden chariot pulled by white stallions. He rode in on a baby donkey. It wasn't a mighty champion that killed Goliath. It was a shepherd boy with a sling. Right? It wasn't the United States government that was called on to feed 5,000 men, 20,000 people. It was a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Yeah. Who would rescue the people from the thousands and thousands of Midianites? It was going to be a piddly, weak Gideon and his 300. Yeah. It wasn't the Walton family. It wasn't Walmart or the owners of Walmart. It wasn't Bill Gates or Donald Trump. They aren't the ones that gave the greatest offering. You know who gave the greatest offering? It was a widow woman. Yeah. And it was said of her, she hath done what she could. What'd she give? 2 mites. It was all she had. She hath done what she could. When that statement right there gets hold of your heart, it wipes away all excuses. Because you can always do whatever you can. Yeah, I can't do what he does. I can't do what they do. I can't. God's never expected that from many of us. He just expects you to do what you can. But I'm weak. Praise God. Let's put that on your resume. God's ready to use you. Yeah, but I'm weary. Oh, hallelujah. God's ready to use you. That's good. Amen. Yeah, but I've been through a lot of trials and tribulation. I'm hurting pretty bad. Amen. Amen. Now God can use you. Because you can do what you can do. Revelation 3:8. I'm just about done. Revelation 3:8. This is from my Sunday school class. I got so fired up about this, I just had to throw it in because this is good stuff. Amen. It is good, isn't it? Thank you. I appreciate that. Revelation 3:8, he says, I know thy works, and I don't have time to get into all that, but that's good stuff too. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. I just absolutely love that statement. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. Isn't that good? That is so good. He's talking about the church here at Philadelphia. By the way, there's nothing negative said about the church at Philadelphia. As far as we know, historically, it was a little group of people that, I say little, I don't know that it was little, but it was a group of people that were poor people, not the wealthy people, and they met outside the city, and they had their church services, and they served God, and there was nothing bad said about them, nothing wrong going on there as far as the Bible records, but God said this, he said, I have given you an open door, and no man can shut the door that I open. No man can. I don't care who it is. Don't care how powerful. Not only can no man, the devil can't shut it. The world can't shut it. The government can't shut it. If the door's open, bless God, you go through that door. I love it. And then he says, you have a little strength. And you just have a little strength. I love that. Well, preacher, I just have a little strength. Is the door open? Crawl. Then just crawl. Like, I can't see very. Then feel your way. Is the door open? Okay, then no man can shut it. then let's go through the door. I just have, you know, you have a little strength. And by the way, that's perfect. That's the perfect amount of strength, because now I need him. I need him so desperately. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. Little is much when he's in it. Paul said in Romans 8, and Romans 8 comes right after Romans 7. I know that because I know math. Romans 7, Paul is so frustrated. He really is. And he says in Romans 8, right after all of that, he says, "Oh, wretched man." I'm sorry, Romans 7, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He says in Romans 8, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He's tired. He's wore out. He's gone through the frustration of his own flesh. I hope you're frustrated with your own flesh. I hope after we've been preaching, you know, I've been preaching on it for the last 3 weeks. I hope every one of us is like Paul, saying, you know, I want to do right, but I fail at times. And because ultimately it needs us, it causes us to say, God, I need you. I need you so desperately. I need you. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You ever fall asleep praying? You ever fall asleep reading your Bible? There's folks here that have so much pain from arthritis. You ever been stabbed in the back by somebody that said they loved you? You ever been cursed at by someone? You ever been gossiped about? You ever been hurt? You ever been sickly? Can't see as well? You can't hear as well? You can't do what you used to do? You have financial problems? You ever feel alone? You ever feel that pull of your flesh trying to pull you down? That's the infirmity that Paul talks about. And he said, "But I'm not going to whine about it. I'm not going to gripe about it. I'm not going to brag about me." He said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look at that infirmity, and I'm going to realize that's going to give me the power." Not the infirmity, but the weakness. God, I need you. The weakness where we say three times, "God, this thorn in my flesh, I know you want me to do great things for you, God, so surely you don't want me to be near blind. I know, God, that you want me to do great things for you. Surely you don't want me to have bad health. God, I know you have great plans for my life, and I really believe that. And so I know that you don't want me to have financial problems. God, I know you have great plans for me, and I know you have great, and this is how I want to do it, God, so I know you'll." And it's the reality that if God chooses to use me without sight, without hearing, if God chooses to use me without money, if God chooses to use me not the way I planned it, if God chooses to use me, then praise God to be used by God. Praise God to be strengthened by God. Praise God. Paul would say to you, if you're having that kind of a life and there's a lot of infirmity in it, he'd say, "You know what? Your resume start to look pretty good. Starting to look pretty good. God's about ready to do something with you." Now, you could get bitter and quit. You could gripe and drag a lot of people down with you. Or you could do what Paul did in 2 Corinthians 12. You could say, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." By the way, he says most gladly. I get so frustrated. People say, "Well, God just wants me to be happy." Most gladly, that is happy. When you can glory in your infirmities, that is happy. That's real joy. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution, distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." I close Isaiah 6 and verse 1. Look at it. This is so good. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. Again, it goes back to what we've been talking about these last few weeks. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. He says, "In the year that King Uzziah died," oh, there's the trial. See it? "The year that King Uzziah died, It was a tough time. It was a difficult time. The king died. It's a trial. What's he say? He says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He said, I saw the Lord. It was a trial. It was a tough time. But in that trial, maybe he was on his knees begging God, what are we going to do without our king? The king died. But he said, I saw the Lord. By the way, we see the Lord when we open up our Bibles and we read it. We see him. And he says this. He goes on. He says, I saw the Lord. And what happened? What was the result of him seeing the Lord? Verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And seeing in the middle of this trial, seeing the Lord caused him to get on his face before God and say, God, I'm not worthy. And verses 6 and 7, God cleans him up. Amen. That's why Paul could say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And God cleans him up. And I love verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. That was after a trial. That was after he saw the Lord. It was after he realized that he was not worthy. That was after the Lord cleaned him up, made him ready. That was after God put his power, his strength in him. And he said, I'll go. Paul said it, I'll glory in mine infirmities. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. His grace saved me. His grace gave me new life. His grace has taken me through dangers, toils, snares. And it's His grace that's going to lead me home. And when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And it's all about Him. And it becomes less and less and less. Do you understand when we get to heaven, we're not all going to brag about our mansions? Do you understand that? I'm happy about my chocolate pond, lake. I'm happy about it. I'm excited about it. But I'm not going to be able to brag about it. I'm not going to have anything. You know, your mansion. Oh, look, my mansion's bigger than you. There won't be any of that. No, not at all. Never. My chocolate pond is bigger than your pineapple pond. There won't be any bragging about any of that. Not at all. You know what's going to be in heaven? It's all going to be, wow, look what God did. Look what God did. God finally got me to see it when I had to spend that time in the hospital. God finally got me to see it when I was at the funeral home and the person laying in the casket was somebody I loved. God finally got me to see it. God finally got me to see it when I lost my job. God finally got me to see it when we couldn't pay our bills and we lost our home. God finally got me to see it. You know, it's all about God finally got me to see it. The main thing is, do you see it? Then if you see it, if you see that God is God, God's in control, it's all about God, then give glory to Him in your infirmities and just let Him use you. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here today that'd say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Nobody's looking but me. You'd say, God, speak into my heart. I am not sure I'm saved. God bless you. Thank you. I wonder how many Christians would say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart as a Christian today. There's something in my life God's speaking to me about. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. All over, just slip it up. Pray for me. Thank you. God bless you. Father, I thank you so much for your will in our lives. Sometimes it takes an infirmity. Sometimes it takes a distress. Sometimes it takes a necessity, a need, for us to realize just how much we really do need you. And I pray that we would yield to you, and that our weakness, Lord, would yield to your power and your strength, that you might use us for your honor and glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.